Hey, what is going on, guys? James Mellon back here again. And in the last episode, we talked about, just an intro, how I'm sort of getting going and starting a business. You guys can join along with me if you want. If you don't, you know, I'm still going to truck ahead regardless. But hopefully you can join along with me. And we're talking about how, dropped in my head, and at that point, everything changed. So I started thinking about, okay, what are the changes you guys might need to make if you're in the position that I was starting in, to sort of like turn things around, like turn your mind around and get in the right frame of mind on what it takes to create a product and where to go with it. And I'm not saying this just because I've started making my own business and somehow I'm some sort of expert on all things business. I'm not. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I work with quite a few people who sell some expensive stuff, and in doing that, you start to understand what works and what does not. And if you take time and you know, research how to sell stuff online and what works and what doesn't, you'll come across some key players that will keep telling you the same thing. And what they'll tell you is that the money is in the market. So what do we mean by that? When we say the money's in the market, it's a case of not thinking of a product first and trying to find a market to fit it to, but instead finding a market and fitting a product to what they need. So when it comes to finding a market, you know, where do you start? And that was a big question for me. I sort of didn't know what I really wanted to do and whether stuff was going to be interesting. And to be honest, this isn't the first time I've tried to start a business. I've tried stuff with like bonsai trees and Bengal cats and stuff like that, and I just found that I just wasn't interested in those whatsoever. Those were cases where I'd identified a market that had a problem that needed solving, but I just couldn't get passionate about it. And yeah, maybe that comes later on down the line when I can afford to hire people to take up the legwork for an idea and implement stuff that, you know, would just make me bored or sort of turn me off the idea when it starts to become more of a chore than something that excites you. So first things first, I'd say start with just identifying what it is you like and what you're enthusiastic about, because that's how I arrived where I am now. Like I'm passionate about jujitsu and I love going to it. I go to it like 3 times a week, and I know that's not a lot. Like some people go 5 times a week, like more to you if you go more often. I just do try and do a lot of things, so I don't have time to go 3 times a week. Although I don't feel I don't know why I need to explain that to you. But yeah, I think you can get really lost in the reeds trying to identify a market that you can serve, and it's just, yeah, you can really question yourself and doubt yourself and almost make an excuse as to why not to start, because, you know, I'm not passionate about this, why should I do it? Well, you know, don't pick. And then, yeah, the people, the smart people will say, well, I could be passionate about something, but there could be no money in the market. It's like, right, okay, yeah, I agree. Don't go down that route. Don't enter a market where there's no money. And I'm going to touch on stuff like how to identify those sort of markets later on. But don't walk into a market where you have a situation that's going to be like a labor of love, like trying to sell, it's a tough example because I can't think of too many, but maybe trying to sell like really bespoke, like artistic styles to certain people. Like, I'm not gonna say Van Gogh because he's like a popular artist, but and painter, but you know, some trying to sell a unique style of like painting or drawing to a very small pocket of people. Like, one, are those people even willing to buy that sort of stuff, or are they just, you know, is it a labor of love for themselves and they're willing to just read a couple of books and work out and sit and experiment and sort of sidestep the need for your techniques that you're willing to share? So when it comes to those, where do you go? You know, where do you apply yourself? And personally, I think you should try and look at how your skills overlap with markets that are profitable. And I guess that leads on nicely to profitable markets. So again, feel free to look into this. I'm not talking crap. I don't ever intend to. This is stuff that's just all over the internet. Just look at direct response marketing, or look at any form of marketing, and they will tell you there's like three major markets that you can sell to. So these markets are health, wealth, and relationships. So anything that's concerned with somebody's health, so, you know, mental health, physical health, maybe it's like the joint, like niches down into joint health or intestinal health, spiritual health, those sort of things. And then even then, those markets go deeper and deeper into stuff like, okay, joint health for people over 60, joint health for pregnant women, you know, things like that. These are how markets get more specific. But it's as long as you stick in those markets that you'll find there are problems that people are willing to pay money for. And then I guess it comes to, okay, how does my knowledge that I have best suit and best serve the people in these markets? You know, go back to the arts example. How can they help someone who's over 60? How can they help them relieve the joint pain? Well, maybe through their appreciation of the visual form, they have studied yoga or something like that, and they know that yoga is good for flexibility, and they could sell a flexibility course. I don't know, I'm terrific off the top of my head. It's probably a stupid idea. But it's sort of trying to find not just like what you perceive as your most valuable skill. So maybe it is that degree that you've earned, or maybe it is all those modules you've studied. Not necessarily those. You know, you can't really apply thermodynamics to making money online. If you're an engineer like I was, and there's, I just wouldn't want anyone to get lost in thinking, man, how can I take what I've got and sort of just understand how the hell can I help these people? How is that what I've got relevant whatsoever? So I think if you're just starting out, I'd spend some time working out what you're good at. You know, go out, ask people, okay, what are my skills? What do you think I'm better at than anybody else? Ask your friends, ask your family, ask people you know, see down at whatever local clubs you attend, sports teams, whatever. Ask them, see what they say, and then start writing those down, jot them down, because they're going to be things you're going to use later on to identify how you can best serve a market. Because that's all successful people do. They help somebody solve a problem or achieve a desire that they have in one of these markets. maybe that's something you want to do. Actually, I'd recommend doing that. Go and look at successful people. Look at the market they serve. Look at people like Russell Brunson, wealth. Look at the wealth market. Make more money online. Use a sales funnel. Here's how to make money. I will show you how to make money online using my software. Tony Robbins, NLP, mastering you, yourself and the inner voice. So that's health. That's how mental health and how you perceive yourself and you like emotional state, happiness and those sort of things. Like apps like Tinder, it's relationships. They make relationships easier in a society that seems to be getting more and more socially awkward. These big companies don't just seem to come out of nowhere. And yeah, there are exceptions to the rule. So where do you fit Tesla into there? You might be saying, where do you fit Apple into there? And you know, the certain products have aspects of status and they affect multiple markets. So Tesla, status. If you're driving around in a Tesla, people know you're wealthy. So that increases your status in wealth and that can affect your relationships and your health as well. So, you know, maybe they aren't exemptions to the rule, but they cross markets and, you know, other products do too. So going back to Russell Brunson's example, okay, you're teaching me how to make money online, but for a lot of people, that's going to make them happier because they're not struggling to pay bills, cover tuition fees and student loans, etc., that they're covering now that they've got a job. So, yeah, maybe this episode, it's coming across like a bit of a mess to me, but there's a lot of sort of changes that need to be made in terms of thinking for you to identify a successful business. Because I don't know about you, but I would rather start a business 19 times and strike lucky on one, but I'll have cut those 18 prior quite early because I understood they were bad markets to get into, than investing heavily in two or three companies and get burnt out because you try to push something that from the get-go was never going to work anyway. So yeah, I'd start, if I was to start this all again, I'd start identifying what I'm good at, like where I can help, what are my skills, and from there I would start looking at markets. I'll go into this in other episodes, maybe the next episode, but start looking at markets and start observing where money's being made and how you can categorize them into those three major markets, then take them down into sub-markets. So Russell Brunson, wealth, selling online, making wealth online, predominantly, obviously, there's a couple of people that probably use his stuff to make most of the money offline. But I've lost my train of thought. What was that? Anyway, I can't remember. There was loads of things. Yeah, that was it. Going into the market and looking around, checking out those sub niches, checking out those markets, then trying to identify the sub markets and then there's some more focused niches because the money is in niches. I think they say riches are in the niches in America, and couldn't be more true. I mean, it sounds counterintuitive. It sounds like you don't want to sell to hardly anyone. We don't want to try and sell to hardly anyone. And it's a sort of mind frame switch that you have to get through to sort of just break away and get past these roadblocks that you will face. I promise you will face them, because you will ask yourself questions like, is this audience big enough? I need to sell to loads of people to make loads of money. Like, for example, I was helping this guy out once in this Facebook group, and he was trying to sell his sort of, you find your keys if you lose them somewhere. And you go on the sales page that he had for them, and he was trying to sell to everybody. You know, if you'd lost them in the house, on the way to work, at the gym, for mothers who have children, for entrepreneurs who are busy. And there's an age old saying, it's like, if you don't mean like something to someone, you'll mean nothing to everyone. And that really is the case. If you can't talk to that person by understanding the market, going out and finding that market, you'll never sell to them. Never. Imagine, just think about this podcast. This is the graduated entrepreneur. I'm talking to people who are in my position and are in my position still, who have left uni, graduated, maybe got a job, and sort of sick of the job, and you want to do something different. If things go somewhere with this business, then I've got some authority to speak about and a reputation. Who do you think are the most likely people to listen to me? This is a small niche of people I'm trying to carve out to talk to, because I identify with them. And if I connect with you, then you're more likely to listen to me, respond to what I'm saying. And say I ever sold something, maybe a certain number of people would buy something. And that is the case. That's why you should always hunt for the market first. Work out where you can, how you can best sell using the skills you have to the market that's out there. Now, I'm in the early stages of this podcast. Sometimes I listen to myself as I'm speaking and I think, you are rambling on. And maybe I am, but I don't want anything about these to be like edited, chopped and changed. You'll hear the pauses, you'll hear the I've lost my train of thought, everything like that, because I want to be completely honest. This is who I am. This is the sort of journey I'm taking. And again, if you want to stick in this with me and see how it goes, learn from my mistakes, keep listening, because I'll keep putting these out. But just to go over what we said, one, start listing where you can help, what you're good at, what are your skills, what are your talents. And two, start looking at markets. Don't pick one now. Just go and look at like all the big sellers, people, companies you like that interest you, that sell into you. What market are they in? Then what's the sub-market they're in? So if it's making, like, again, another example, you're in the wealth market. Okay, what's the next one down from that? Like estate agents, they sell housing. And you know, the majority mechanism for that is for people to make money. A lot of people sell houses, rent houses. You've heard it, you've seen it before. What's a sub hyper focus like niche there? You know, how to scale your estate agency business, or how to buy and sell houses for the average person. How to buy and rent your first house as a graduate without eating into your savings or taking up all your income. Those sort of things, like those hyper-focused things, they solve very specific problems. Those are things you want to look for and try and identify them and just get familiar with how things work. This isn't a race, it's a marathon. You will get there eventually if you take the right path. So yeah, go ahead, do those. I think in the next episode we'll talk about pinpointing ideas and what you need to look for in markets to confirm, yeah, this is a good idea. Because there's some key things, and I tell you, a lot of people will step over them. And it'll lead to that situation that I was describing, where you are literally sat there with thousands, if not tens of thousands, invested in business, and you struggle to get customers. Good ideas don't sell. It's the execution of good solutions that sell. Anyway, until next time, I've been the graduated entrepreneur, still trying to work out how to close these up. And I'll see you next time. Bye.